Good afternoon, everyone. Let me first give you an overview of the busy week ahead for the government. Tonight I will be presenting the Prime Minister's Awards for Literary Achievements at Premier House. On Tuesday, we will be starting the second reading on the Commerce Amendment Bill, and I'll say more on that in a moment. And Minister Parker will be delivering a speech tomorrow setting phase two of our review of the Overseas Investment Act. On Wednesday, Minister Sage will be setting out our next steps in the fight against kauri dieback. On Thursday, I'll be speaking to the Lower Hutt Chamber of Commerce on the government's economic plan and will be visiting a local business. On Friday, I'll be visiting North Shore Hospital to make an announcement with Minister Clark. And on Saturday, I will be opening the Auckland Diwali Festival. As you know, the government is concerned around some of the issues we have seen recently in the fuel market. It is clear to me and a huge number of New Zealanders that the increases of around, as I quoted last week, 40 cents to our fuel prices over the last year through to 28 September need to be investigated. And it doesn't make sense to me that in 2008 we had one of the lowest pre-tax costs in the OECD, and as at the start of 2018, we have the highest. If you look at our petrol taxes, they are the sixth lowest in the OECD, including the 3.5 cents in excise. When you add the Auckland regional fuel tax, Auckland's are still the 10th lowest in the OECD. We need our legislation to have the power to compel fuel companies and any industry ramping up prices in this way, if indeed there are issues we should be concerned about, to provide information to the Commerce Commission so we're able to understand what is going on. That is why we are prioritising the passing of the Commerce Amendment Bill through second reading in the House this week. This bill will create the ability to undertake market studies. The last government tried to start this work but got nowhere. All the while there was an increase in importer profit margins and all the while increasing excise by 17 cents. Today I am calling on the opposition to support the second reading through the House. They oppose the first reading, but in my mind they need to have a rethink. Do they think the increases of 40%, so 40 cents in a year to a litre of petrol warrants investigation or not? If they do, then they need to support this bill in second reading. My expectation is that the bill will complete all stages by next week, and if we get cross-party support, it will send a very strong message that we're serious about these issues in New Zealand. All right, happy to take questions.
What do you make of the results of the inquiry up to
now? Oh, look, I maintain what I maintained from the very beginning, that this is an issue for the National Party, and it's an issue that they need to manage. I'm going to get on with running and leading the government.
If one of your MPs was found to take the conversation with you and then freely release it on Twitter, would that be a picking out a caucus kind of thing?
These are thankfully hypotheticals I've never had to deal with, and nor do I anticipate having to deal with. How the Leader of the Opposition chooses to deal with that is a matter for him.
Do you think there's any irony in the fact that Simon Bridges could be the first leader who could take advantage of the water jumping in?
That also would be a matter for the National Party. Obviously, they may well see some of the rationale for the arguments we were making for the legislation at this point, but again, that is a matter for them whether they choose to utilise that legislation or not.
Is Bridges' leadership being undermined?
Again, any judgments around the leadership of the National Party, I think, ultimately sits with them and their caucus.
You've seen some internal ructions yourself over your time in Parliament.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Do you have any advice for Simon or for other National MPs on getting through these kind of
things? No, in fact, that is the very reason that I will not be giving advice.
If you had your own investigation, so
Just to create, no, I wouldn't call that our own investigation. That was initiated by the Department of Internal Affairs. It was something that they determined they wanted to undertake, and we've left them to do that, and obviously fully cooperating with that.
Is there any do you know where that's at or when you expect to
hear back? I expect we'll hear back soon, but again, that's something that DIA are managing.
Have you received any updates on the Saudi journalist who was, according to Turkish authorities, murdered within the Saudi embassy in Ankara?
I have not received anything in addition to what has been seen in public reporting. My understanding is that MFAT will be meeting with the Saudi representative here in New Zealand in the very near future. We have raised on an ongoing basis, as we do with any nation where we see human rights issues, we have raised on an ongoing basis human rights issues with the Saudi government and their representatives, and will continue to do so. We share the absolute concern of the international community over what is alleged to have happened, calling on those involved to fully participate in investigations to shed light on indeed what has happened.
The Turkish authorities say they have shown the US, basically, video and audio footage of this happening.
Yes.
Has that been shared to New Zealand as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, you'll know that I don't make a habit of commenting on intelligence that we're provided with, but I think it's fair to say that at the moment, what we've seen is very similar. What I've seen is just simply what's been in the public domain.
National's opposition to the communist act change was based on the fact that their initial proposals were that the minister should be the only person who could initiate a market study. Your proposals are that the Commerce Commission and the minister
yes.
are both of their authorities.
Yes.
To get that cross-party support, would you be willing to perhaps change it to be more what they supported, or are you telling them to be on board with your proposal?
Oh, look, I mean, I would want to hear a rationale that stacks up around why we wouldn't want both entities being able to undertake market studies. To date, I haven't seen a rationale to why we should change our position on that.
But is this the same company? Would you look at more funding for the Commerce Commission? Obviously, there's limited funding to these market studies. We've made a strong case, I suppose, for why we need them. Well, with this limited funding, there will only be one every year or so, right? Would you be looking to increase the funding to allow more?
Yeah, I haven't seen any evidence to date that we are missing out on undertaking work that we would otherwise undertake by adding this additional way of instigating those market studies. So, look, that's obviously something that we monitor whenever we change the rules in this way, but at the moment it's about making sure that we have that power available and then seeing whether or not there's that knock-on effect.
In the context of your climate change policy, why are you so worried about high petrol prices? Surely that
we've constantly argued the need for a just transition, that we don't want these transitions to be jarring on particularly our jobs and our lower income communities. This kind of accelerated increase is not an ease transition. We also know that we have work to do to provide alternative transport mechanisms. And that was the reason that we are investing so heavily in public transport options, so that there are other ways that commuters can make their way around, for instance, our largest city. Those alternatives are not there yet, and that's where the investment we're making will really be important. But till then, there are people who will continue to need to rely on vehicles and don't have alternatives available to them. We want that not to be the case, of course.
How many of these markets are do you envision seeing every year? The business then did say basically, it's a lot of work for a business to go through. They provide all this documentation, it takes away a lot of opportunity cost.
I expect it to be used prudently. I don't have those numbers in front of me. The minister, I'm sure, would have considered that when they prepared, for instance, a regulatory impact statement, but I don't have those figures.
Is it worth bolstering the budget of the Commerce Commission, given the fact that there has been an increased interest in having them explore different areas or different sectors within the economy?
That's been suggested. The only one at this point that we are firmly saying that at least I'll be nominating will be the fewer.
But is it worth giving them more money when it comes around to the budget so they're able to take on more studies? Because if ministers stop nominating them, it's going to be, as I understand.
Yeah, and we expect it to be used prudently. At this point, our focus is on the fact that we're nominating the fuel industry.
we haven't gone beyond that yet, and anything beyond that would be a hypothetical.
The Greens have set up some market genetic stuff. What do you make of that?
Again, there's a process that the Minister is statutorily required to go through to make sure that we are using this legislative power prudently and wisely, and I'm going to leave him to go through that process.
There's definitely a duopoly in New Zealand with markets, and there's definitely lower prices in Australia where the duopoly has been somewhat broken up by their agency. Does that not?
And any other study would need to go through a statutory process in order for it to be considered.
What's your reaction to the NZTA issues that have emerged today?
The fact that there is both that combination of a large number of files that we're not followed up on, but at the same time we've seen pressure put on staff and a reduction in those working in the compliance space. You can see exactly what has happened here and why it has happened. Our focus is on fixing it.
If oil prices shoot up due to international tensions over Saudi Arabia, will you take action to mitigate costs?
Yeah, and this is something that I answered last week. I cannot guarantee to consumers that would not just be consumed by fuel companies. And yet what everything that comes in by excise, that is going directly to funding those transport alternatives, to making sure that we've got the road safety improvements that we need and the investment in regional roading. That's not what happens to profit to fuel companies.
Last week you said that there'd been a 6.8% increase in petrol, on tax on petrol.
Up until the end of September.
Did that number include the exercise tax and the Auckland regional fuel?
Clearly not. As I said, it was up until the end of September, and I clearly stipulated that when I gave it.
Was that a little bit misleading, perhaps, to not include those figures in that, or at least have some sort of permission to say that's not included?
No, that's why I was explicit about the date that I was using. It was the most up-to-date figures that I had from Envy, and those were the numbers that I shared.
Why was the Auckland regional fuel price not included?
Yeah, and that's a question we've asked of Envy. It's all about the way that they're undertaking their modelling. They are working on modelling that will be able to factor in, as I understand, that regional fuel tax. Interestingly, what they also include in the modelling that I provided to you is discounting. They incorporate assumptions that consumers will access either fuel cards or discount coupons. The numbers that I provided to you included discounting of, I'm told, 14.5 cents. So if you factor that in as well, then that creates some interesting reading. But as I say, as I understand, Envy are doing some work on the way they model those fuel prices. Just on that, some might claim I've become slightly obsessive. I spent a bit of time looking at the price difference, even in my area, over the weekend at the pump, a variation as much as 12 cents, just in one, the outer edges of one suburb. There is an increasing use of discounting by fuel retailers, and yet some of those require a minimum spend. Now, there will be a group of consumers who will not reach that minimum spend because of the restrictions on their income. So there are a lot of tools and devices that are now used in marketing that will be having a disproportionate effect on consumers. So I will be very interested to see what role that is playing, and it's something I hope that a market study would look at.
From the electricity sector, Meridian,
yes.
Pulled down its
prompt payment
discount.
Yep.
Mercury and Genesis are saying that they think that's a mistake and that they need to use that method. What's your view about that?
I think removing the prompt payment is the right thing to do.
I think there was a by-election of Botany that they went.
We've interestingly been in that position with Botany before. Obviously, it's a very, very tough seat, but we treat every by-election, if indeed we face one, in exactly the same way. We put a huge amount of effort and energy because we think all voters deserve to have choice. But again, that's obviously a hypothetical.
Do you believe Jamie Lee Ross is fit to be in Parliament?
That is not a question for me. That is a question for his party.
Prime Minister, when you met with the Foreign Minister of Japan this morning, did he mention his concern with debt levels in the Pacific?
Oh, we had a very general conversation. As you know, my call was only scheduled to be 15 minutes, and that conversation I would characterise as being very general. We talked about, New Zealand's Pacific reset. It's obviously something that we've been talking about regionally and is obviously of interest to those in the region.
Did you discuss the memorandums about China wanting to pay on CPTPP?
We talked about CPTPP coming into force and our expectations around ratification. Interestingly, obviously, something we'll be looking to progress this term, but it would really keep it confined to our process around ratification.
Would you be open to China joining the CPTPP? The trade deal though.
As I'd say, would be the same that I have said with a number of countries that have expressed an interest. It demonstrates why it was important for New Zealand to be in that agreement. But any other country expressing an interest will need to go through a process.
It's said that there's some environmental concerns within China. Is that something that's a concern that you share?
Well, the CPTPP is, of course, labelled progressive for the very reason that it tries to lift labour and environmental standards. So any country choosing to enter into that obviously would be beholden to a set of expectations.
And is this meeting with Japan, is it similar shift towards Japan and away from China?
I think we've always had a strong relationship, but
has it strengthened since you've come?
Certainly since I've been in government, it's been incredibly strong. And acknowledging as well that the current Foreign Affairs Minister was a New Zealand Prime Minister's fellow in 2004, so there's an existing relationship there as well for us.
Prime Minister, just back to the Pacific debt levels, would the government consider helping to relieve those, reduce those?
Look, for us it's about working in partnership with Pacific Island leaders in the space that they are, the spaces that they're prioritising. We have, for instance, indicated an expectation that we'll be working alongside them on climate adaptation and mitigation. That's something they've clearly identified as being the most significant issue that the region is facing, and we've said we'll work in partnership with them on that. So for us, it is about determining our focus together rather than specifically looking at issues around debt and who that debt is owed to.
The Foreign Minister said that we are looking very seriously at the issue of the debt levels in the Pacific. What does that entail, looking at it very seriously?
Oh, of course, no one wants there to be, no one wants our Pacific neighbours to be in economic situations which put them in a vulnerable situation. Everyone wants our local economies to be strong. That provides a mutual benefit to us all. And so, more generally speaking, that's of course a position that successive governments would have maintained.
Prime Minister, to the PM, eight of us who wrote an open letter to Ball and Muslim, Mount Gilby by an Israeli court and charged about $24,000.
Yes.
That they are not Israeli citizens. They were in Israel and they made this letter. They were in New Zealand. What do you make of a court of an allied country charging our citizens of that?
And of course, this was something that happened, as I understand, in the civil court proceedings as well. So ultimately, this is about another country's domestic legislation, and that's not something that we tend to comment on.
Is this the act of a liberal democracy, though, charging someone in absentia for something that they did outside of someone else?
Again, obviously, the case struck me as very unusual, but it is a matter that was undertaken in the civil court and is a matter ultimately for them and their domestic legislation.
Regarding the environmental and labour concerns re China joining the CPTPP, would those same concerns, particularly the environmental concerns, apply to the United States that decided to rejoin?
Again, I hold the same line of argument around anyone who wishes to enter into the CPTPP. There are a set of standards that have been negotiated, and it's up to each individual country to negotiate within that framework.
America's obviously decided to withdraw from the Paris Agreement, but China has not, so America could potentially fall foul of the environmental standards, whereas China would not.
Yeah, that's a bit of a hypothetical. You could look at that record and make that assumption, but ultimately, until those countries put themselves forward, those are just we're all just making assumptions. Really. Because we need teachers. And ultimately, we are doing everything we can to try and recruit domestically. We've seen actions that already were taken by the minister to try and encourage those who have departed from the profession to make it as easier to get up to standard quickly. But ultimately, it takes time to train teachers, and we have an immediate need that we're trying to meet.
Some people say they don't think that 900 is a realistic goal. Do you think we can reach that?
Well, we've undertaken some modelling around what's needed, and that's where that number's been generated from, and so that's the ambition and the task that we have set ourselves.
Are you worried that in the push to get more teachers, that the quality of teachers and the level of students?
No one wants that. Of course we want to maintain the highest standard of teacher possible. These are our kids we're talking about, and so that of course is front of mind. One of the focuses for the Ministry of Education is trying to target New Zealand teachers who are abroad, and of course probably everyone knows someone who might be in that position. So that's a focus for them as well. And then looking to those countries who tend to train and have similar qualifications and standards as what New Zealand does to try and make sure that we maintain that standard.
And if I require teachers coming out of their college aren't actually in the classroom, do you think that that speaks to how well teachers' colleges actually train their students?
And that's a piece of work that I understand the Ministry of Education and the Minister is also looking at and doing, understanding what's happening here with those grads or with the schools who are recruiting as to why we have a percentage that aren't being picked up.
On this in Canada, will New Zealand have a comprehensive framework for recreational cannabis? A comprehensive framework for recreational cannabis at the time of referendum that New Zealand has been voting on?
And that's some of the work that we're doing, we will need to do as a government. We have to make sure that we've answered questions around the timing of the referendum, the nature of the question. We've been asked about whether or not we expect it, have expectations around it being binding. Those are all things we need to explore.
Are you referring towards sort of a particular model, like Canadian model versus one of the states in America?
All of that needs to be worked through, and I'm very mindful about working them through with our confidence in supply and coalition partners as well.
Are you able to comment on what stage of the government that?
No, obviously we've got a set time frame that it needs to be delivered by, because we've set ourselves an expectation via our support partners agreement. What I would say is that what I hope we'll have at least is enough of a public conversation in the lead up to the referendum that it will be an informed decision to the public.
But there will be detail. The public will go to the poll with a detail.
I think if you're going to get value for money, then you need to do quite a bit of work around the nature of the question and make it make use of the opportunity. So that gives you probably a bit of a suggestion around the way I expect it to be framed.
I'll take last question.
Will New Zealand and perhaps with Japan discourage Pacific Island countries from taking on more debt from China?
You're asking me if we're going to take away the sovereignty of Pacific Island nations, and the answer is no.
Thank you.